This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How are we doing today on a Thursday? It's The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, live on the Bama Central YouTube channel, Bama Central Facebook page, on our own social media machines, at Joe Gaither 6, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We hope you guys are having a great Thursday, huge Thursday in Tuscaloosa, the biggest non-conference basketball game in Coleman Coliseum history starts tonight as Alabama takes on Purdue. So that will lead our focus today. We're also going to talk to Ryan Chapman of Oklahoma Sooners on SI to make sure that we are ready for this big old matchup on Saturday against the Oklahoma Sooners. We cannot wait to do that with you guys live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Home insurance, life insurance, auto insurance, like a good neighbor. Derek Daniel is there. He's got his friends upstairs, Red, Lane, and Bobby, waiting to take your phone call at 205-758-3391. Get you a very fast auto insurance quote. Get you the information that you need. If you're thinking about switching, if you thought about switching, if you're not happy with your auto insurance carrier right now, give Derek a call at 205-758-3391. We're also proudly presented by Purple Turtle Roofing. I want to thank Brax Garrison for joining us yesterday in the studio. Call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635. Specializing in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full-on roof replacements, and they'll even help you with your insurance claim supports as well. So call Brax Garrison and them boys at Purple Turtle Roofing, 877-787-6635. We're going to have a lot of fun with our man Mason Woods. Follow him at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Covering all things recruiting for the Crimson Tide, for Missouri Tigers, for Boston College, and for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Good morning, Mason. Are you recovered from basketball signing day? How are we doing today?
Well, you know, we're still waiting on a few guys to sign. I think Vanderbilt's expecting a guy today. I think Missouri's expecting a guy today.
Go Doors! Go Tigers!
Alabama may be expecting a guy today. I'm a bit unsure what's going on with the Crimson Tide right now.
Go Tide!
One player signed yesterday, four-star small forward Terrace Bowie, and you get no tweet, no, you know, highlight package, no nothing from the Alabama men's basketball account. The only thing you get is a Instagram post from the Spire Academy, the high school he attends, the, you know, that everyone has probably heard of if you follow basketball recruiting. Very highly touted school, one of the probably one of the best basketball programs in the country. Regardless, they were the only ones to tweet anything out, post anything out on social media about it. So a little strange from the Alabama front. Not really exactly sure what's going on with your other commit there, Chris Washington Jr. Could just be having a ceremony today, similar to what Terrace Bowie did yesterday. You know, I'm not going to really panic yet at this point. I think if you get maybe through today and no one has signed it still, you might start to worry a little bit, because obviously
we're saving all that NIL money for Caleb Holt.
Sure. But you do want Chris Washington Jr. He's a pretty good player. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens on the Alabama front. You know, like I said, they're the other guys. I think we are expecting some names. So we'll have to see what it rolls in today. I do have some recruiting reactions from this past weekend rolling out today.
Ooh, everybody excited.
One this morning. Four-star 2027 edge Rashad Streets. One of the, I don't know, over a dozen probably players, probably over 20 players in Tuscaloosa this past weekend. So look out this week. I'll have another one coming later today from another four-star prospect in the 2027 class, and then probably another one later this week from a third four-star prospect in the 2027 class. So big-time names in Tuscaloosa.
How about I take that link and put it on my Twitter, Rotten Meow. They're really making a push for my recruitment, says Rashad Streets.
That kid has been all over the place. Insert major Power 5 program. He's probably visited them this fall.
There we go. So maybe Alabama can make a move for Rashad Streets, highly rated North Carolina edge rusher. Hey, man, you can never have enough edge rushers, ever.
He said he told me he was watching the wolf position heavily on Saturday night.
Well, we need more wolves. We need a whole wolf pack right there in Christian Robinson's room to join Quay Rousseau and Yonzi Pierre and apparently Quay Rousseau, who's questionable, listed last night as questionable for the game. That's the most favorable designation we have seen from Rousseau since he went out in the Georgia game. I would expect him still not to play, but I would take that as a sign that he's coming. He's coming back.
This feels like a he'll suit up but not see the field kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to warm up. He's going to be all in pads, but just sitting there breaking glass in case of emergency, but just probably not going to play.
Sure.
Yeah, so exciting stuff. Make sure you read it on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, BamaCentral.com, as Mason Woods gives you all the recruiting rundowns, all the updates on football, basketball, and a little bit of baseball, just a touch here of recruiting news right there as well. So appreciate Mason, all your hard work there.
One more interesting nugget here. Please. A name that many Alabama fans have probably heard over the last week or two, four-star wide receiver Samson Gash.
Samson!
Michigan State commit.
Don't cut your hair.
In Tuscaloosa. I want to say twice this fall. I know he was here this past weekend. Again, one of the many guys that was in town. The 2026 prospect. I don't know if you saw this, but Michigan State got hit with some pretty hefty NCAA violations yesterday.
The only thing I saw was vacated 14 wins.
Looks like a financial penalty of $30,000 plus 1.5% budget for the football program, restrictions on official visits, unofficial visits, communication, recruiting person days, off-campus recruiting contact, a whole lot of stuff.
Wow.
I'm not exactly sure where that will fall in his decision-making, Samson, but could certainly be a factor in maybe him flipping to Alabama.
We won't cut your hair. You won't ever have to go to the to the in-house barbershop.
No.
That's probably going to be part of the commitment. I never cut my, he's going to have his hair down to his ankles.
That'd be sweet.
Yes, it would.
He could use it as a weapon, maybe. Pow! I mean, they can grab you by the hair. Can you not, like, if it's long enough, whoosh?
Football in one hand, hair whip in the other.
I mean, nobody's coming to tackle you, buddy.
Yes.
There cannot be a written rule against that.
No. There can't. I agree.
Someone just has to be bold enough to do it.
Bold and patient enough to let the hair grow.
Sure.
We had a listener who said, oh, I'm going to send a voicemail and asking Mason about his hair, and it hasn't happened yet. And I said, please feel free. I'm sure he won't care. I'm like, it's fine.
I do the haircut thing maybe once a year, once every year and a half or so. That's just my routine.
We got to get into some routine as basketball has really started here in Tuscaloosa. 6 o'clock tonight in Coleman Coliseum, Alabama takes on number 2 Purdue.
I did not realize that's the biggest game ever.
Biggest non-conference game ever. You've hosted number 1 a couple times, be it Kentucky, sure. I think maybe at LSU at one point, maybe here or there, Florida here at one point, here or there. But biggest non-conference game ever as far as most highly rated opponent, highly ranked opponent. And Purdue comes in 2-0 after whipping Alabama the last two seasons, once in Purdue last year, Mackey Arena, and then in Toronto in this should have been the Chuck Bediako game. This should have been the Chuck Bediako for Zach Edey game. So it's 0-2 against the Boilermakers in the last two seasons. Sure. And so we get a chance to get one back tonight in Coleman Coliseum. As we look at the scouting issues or scouting reports, Purdue, number 7 in KenPom, with the number 1 offensive rating analytically over the two, three games, depending on which team you're looking at. Basically, 3 games played. They have the number 1 rated offense. Alabama, 15th rated offense. And Alabama is ranked 19 overall in KenPom. So 7 in KenPom versus 19. first overall offense for the Boilermakers to the 15th overall offense for the Crimson Tide. A little bit of an advantage on the defensive side of the floor for the Crimson Tide. Alabama at 38 in defensive rating, holding 97.5 points per. It's 100 possessions, right? It's efficiency. Yeah, adjusted defensive points allowed per 100 possessions. Alabama at 97.5 at standing at 38th in the country. Purdue at 44th in the country at 98.1. So just about 0.6 of a point more over the course of the time.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fairly negligible difference.
Right, yeah. Very, very. I mean, Alabama, same thing on offense. We said they're number one, 125.3 for the Boilermakers. Alabama, 120.3. So
that just puts these in, you know, like in better context. Because like sometimes, like you just said, you hear the rankings.
Number one!
Like, but then you think you go into the actual numbers. It's like, okay, that's a bucket difference.
Right. There's not enough data yet to really make it mean that much right now. You can look at tempo because you have played two games, and Purdue, the Boilermakers, are 324th in adjusted tempo. This is adjusted possessions per 40 minutes. Possessions per 40 minutes, they are at 69.1. Nice. And Alabama is at 77.2. So that's a pretty significant difference right there.
Purdue plays like they are walking in a pool of honey.
Yes. It's yes.
Dreadful to watch.
Yes. Purdue strength of schedule so far is at 308, Alabama 131. So basically split the difference between St. John's and North Dakota. North Dakota. Purdue played Evansville and Oakland.
Yeah.
So really haven't been challenged
Oakland
yet.
Gave him a fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they ended up winning by 10, but like I was, you know, before we got in here, I'm watching the highlights from the game this morning, the extended whatever 25-minute version or that I could find on YouTube. And like Oakland had the lead for a little bit in the first half. They hung in there for probably the first 5 to 8 minutes of the second half.
It was about 9 minutes left, and they started to pull away a little.
Oakland figured some things out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it wasn't like Purdue just ran away from Oakland. They did run away from Evansville.
Sure.
Now, Purdue has not played either of their two games with Trey Kaufman-Wren. Mm-hmm. And last year against Alabama, Trey Kaufman-Wren absolutely ate Alabama's lunch.
Torched.
Just crunched them.
26?
Let me scroll all the way down through here. Ole Miss, yeah, Alabama. He played 30 minutes, 26 points. He was 8 rebounds. Eight rebounds. And is this 4 assists? Yeah, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. So he was incredible.
Yeah.
Up there in Mackey Arena, absolutely dominating the bigs last season. Ooh.
Yeah, you didn't have an answer for him.
Not at all.
Seemingly,
Cliff Amore.
I mean, you might have an answer for him this year with what we've seen, maybe from Taylor Balboa, maybe a little bit of Aiden Sherrill if he can find his lion strength.
Yeah. So I'm watching the Evansville game yesterday, and I'm watching the Oklahoma game or Oakland game. Oakland. I sat there and watched both of them. I found two condensed versions of the game, an hour each. Great. I popped them on, and I wasn't overly scared of Purdue by the time I got finished with it. But by the time I got finished with both games, Nate Oates had his press conference and said, oh, Keaton Bristow still extremely unlikely, and Collins Onyedjaka out indefinitely with a medical issue, leaving Alabama's bigs with Aiden Sherrill and Noah Williamson and basically pseudo Taylor Balboa playing makeshift five, basically. And so I thought, as I'm watching these two games, I'm texting a couple of people, ooh, they look overrated. They don't look so hot to me. They don't look – I mean, obviously, you do have Braden Smith, who is incredible, and Fletcher Lawyer, who is incredible for Purdue. Those two guards are – I mean, they are old men who are very, very good.
In that Oakland game, Braden Smith had like 3 or 4 and one drive to the – and it was like, how does he even finish this?
Frustrating.
Yes.
You're just like –
Yes, exactly. I'm sitting here like wanting to, you know, I'm squeezing my hand. How did he do that? How did you let him score?
Right. And so you got to respect those two guys really, really at a high level to me. But I think that when you put them in front of Houston Millett's taking one of them, right? Most of the game, or most of his minutes, per se. And I do think that LeBaron's going to try to take a leadership role on the defensive side and try to stay in front of somebody. I do think Amari Allen's going to try, Davion Hanna's going to try to stay in front of some guys as well. I think your guard play is going to be kind of a wash tonight.
Yeah.
But when you get down to big men play, it's like, ooh, they're going to bring back Trey Coffin Wren. He's apparently been out for a little bit, didn't play in the first two games. This will be his season debut. Will he be 100%? 100%? I don't really think so, but I think it's still a pretty good player.
Sure.
Oscar Clough and Daniel Jacobson are the other two big men. Daniel Jacobson, 7'4". They just go find these tall guys, Purdue.
You see they landed a recruit yesterday.
From
somewhere in Asia? Romania or something? Oh, was it? Okay.
Maybe it was Romania.
Let's see if I can find it.
Oscar Clough at 6'11", 255. He's going to basically be your starting center. So it's going to be Clough versus Sherrell. And Clough, I mean, they're both similar athleticism, in my opinion. Not very great athletes. I think Clough.
He's from China.
Okay, yeah, so it was right. Yeah. Clough, not really. I think Clough compares closer to Noah Williamson athletically than he does to Aiden Sherrell. I think Sherrell compares to Daniel Jacobson. Long, thin guy, sophomore as well, 7'4", and Sherrell at 6'11", 7', whatever you want to call him.
I mean, Sherrell's wingspan is probably the same.
Right. And so, you could have a chance, I think, right there to wash out. It's just, how do you deal with Trey Coffin Wren? And it's like, okay, you go back to the St. John's game and you say, Taylor Popo, I think he's once again going to be the X factor. Yeah. Maybe he's going to be the X factor all year long for this basketball team, because when you get the performance you got from him last Monday against North Dakota, you're going to lose to these elite teams. Yeah. When you get the performance you get this past Saturday against St. John's, you're going to have a chance, and you're going to be able to be able to surprise some teams, and you're going to give flexibility to Coach Oates in the lineups, because, oh, I can play him at the 5, I can play him at the 4, I can play him at the 3, I can play him wherever I want to, defensive matchup, because, oh, we're hurting here, we're hurting there. You know, go basically Band-Aid the lineup and patch it up until we can get Keaton Bristow back into the lineup. And I do think Keaton's going to be close, but golly, weird news about Collins. They called it a medical issue yesterday, out indefinitely. And I don't know if that means
the flu or what.
I don't really even want to speculate, because it could be a 3-week thing. Oh, I had pneumonia. I don't know.
Sure.
Like,
we really have no idea what the time
zero
table is.
Zero. And so part of me wonders if that's just a speculative way to redshirt him, to give him a little cover. Because look, he should still be in high school. He should be a high school senior. Regardless, I don't want to speculate what he's dealing with, because I don't know, and I don't want to act like I know right there, and I don't want to spin all our listeners into a frenzy going one way or another. What I do want to say is he was my basically he was my man crush on this team. I wanted to see him grow and grow and grow and become a really, and maybe there's still a lot of chance to do that, but he's not going to play tonight. And so we're just looking at tonight. He's not going to be available. You're going to be hurting at the big men's spot tonight. I wonder if they're going to Purdue, slow it down, get it into. I wonder if they're going to play Clough and Jacobson at the same time, or Clough and Trey Coffman Wren. I keep wanting to call him Taylor. Trey Coffman Wren at the same time. And then you put, what do you do, Coach Oates? Sherrell, Bulbowen. You do Sherrell, Bulbowen. You do Latrell, Aiden, and LeBaron, Aiden, and Latrell. Yeah. Is that kind of what you're probably looking at tonight? I feel good about the game tonight. Just because of what I watched yesterday from Oakland and Evansville was, okay, Evansville, you didn't even bring a gun to this fight. You didn't bring any sort of but Evansville, or excuse me, Oakland, they went right at them. Yeah. And Oakland shot well. Oakland got offensive rebounds pretty decently. And
I think they out-rebounded them by 2.
So I wasn't that impressed after watching this Oakland game. Let me pull up their team stats so I don't have to speculate. Rebounds, Oakland got 39 rebounds to Purdue's 37. And ended up with 12 offensive rebounds. Ended up with 10 fast break points. They got 40 points in the paint. They outscored them in the paint 40-32. The issue, Purdue, 3-point shooting. They were, Purdue was 13 of 35 to Oakland's 8 of 26. And then basically negligible at the free throw line. Purdue scored 10 of 15, Oakland 9 of 12. So, I mean, they hung in there. They only beat Oakland by 10 points. Mm-hmm. If Alabama had beat North Dakota by 10 points, I would be pulling my hair out.
Yeah, we would have. It would have been much worse predictions for that St. John's game.
Mm-hmm. KenPom predicts Alabama winning tonight 87-85. And so we'll see what that actually means here when they tip it off at 6 o'clock in Coleman Coliseum. Alabama 9.9% turnover rate to produce 13% turnover rate. So that's not like they're turning the ball over a ton, but I mean, against inferior competition. I mean, you just played St. John's and protected the basketball at 7 turnovers against the Johnnies. I think that if you're able to mitigate the turnovers all year long, you're going to be in some games.
Yeah, I agree. This feels like a competition of just whichever team can make the other one play more into their style is going to take this game. And I, you know, kind of like you've been saying, like I feel pretty good that Alabama will be able to get out and force Purdue to run in this game because of their ability so far to protect the ball and things this year.
If Purdue's running, Oscar Clough's not going to make it up and down the floor a few times.
By the third or so trip, he's going to be lagging 15, 20 feet behind, and here's Aiden Terrell for a free dunk.
Yeah, I see that. And I think this Daniel Jacobson guy is a little bit more athletic as a 7'4" guy.
But hey, you know, he comes over to cover. Let's dish it to Taylor Balboa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm feeling mildly confident about Alabama winning tonight.
That St. John's game really changed my opinion on this team. Not that I was overly down on them before, but I just really, that showed to me that they can lock in and play against the elite competition, and they know what to do against the elite competition. And, you know, you're back at home today. Like, I feel good about this game.
I sure hope that the Alabama fans are making their plans. I know 6 o'clock is often a difficult time for tip-off for the Birmingham folks, for the Huntsville folks, from Montgomery, from everybody that's not living in Tuscaloosa. But I sure hope that everybody can make their plans to be off of work in time and in Tuscaloosa for the tip-off at 6 o'clock tonight in Coleman Coliseum. You already know the traffic's going to be going crazy right around Bryant, so get in there as early as you can. And look, last year up in Mackey Arena, it was nuts. And it was like, look, I put it on the Oakland game. I didn't really feel it as much watching the Evansville game, but the Oakland game, they were rocking in Mackey Arena. So it's time to not give them payback, but give them a dose of their own medicine and show that, hey, we care about basketball too. I know that you guys are big old basketball heads at Purdue, but we care about basketball also. I have no doubt that Crimson Chaos is going to be going berserk.
I hope there's people already in line waiting for the game.
Oh, because Crimson Chaos last Monday night against North Dakota, whole corner full.
Love it.
Whole corner full. They were chanting at the, like, and I felt bad for the kid. North Dakota had a young man that was balding. He had thinner hair. He wasn't quite
follically challenged.
Right. He wasn't quite bald, but he had thinner hair. And every single time he touched the ball, Crimson Chaos, bald.
They were chanting ball. It wasn't bald.
Right. He got to the free throw line once and they chanted, "Let it go, let it go." And I'm like, tough. Great start, guys. Yeah. Like,
good stuff. More of that.
Like, you could, like,
meaner.
You can find, like, no. I think they found the line. They found, okay, here's the line. Yeah. Right.
No, I think that's fair.
We didn't make fun of somebody's, you know, deceased relative or, you know, off-court troubles.
I think
or
hair
whatever.
Is fair game.
Right. I definitely, look, you're asking for it when you're stepping on the court like that. and so kudos to Crimson Chaos for bringing it last Monday night. I know that they're going to bring it again tonight. So you should match them. Look, you're not going to see a better team in Coleman Coliseum, a better opponent, non-conference. I mean, Kentucky comes to town this year.
We'll see.
And
that $50 million roster.
I love the fact that they lost to Louisville on Tuesday.
Oh, man.
And did you say, hey, Alabama beats Florida State in Boutwell, right? 2 weeks ago, two, three weeks ago in the exhibition. Florida State took Florida to the limit. They ended up, I think it was a 76-75 game, 76-74 game. Took Florida to the absolute limit. And so, like, I was feeling from that Bama and Boutwell game, like, is Alabama going to be okay? Like, what? Gave up 100 points. I don't know. I think that Bama and Boutwell game was like 114-106 or something like that, or whatever it was.
Crazy.
But you never know. Good. You're looking around the conference. And yeah, the conference is loaded, and it's a long, long season, and many, many, many things could happen. There already are happening, but all the more reason to get into Coleman Coliseum tonight and try to build on the momentum of beating St. John's. I think that it will make for a great Thursday night. What isn't it? Isn't it Patriots Jets tonight? Who gives a rip about that?
Patriots,
who,
like, the NFL rivalries uniforms and stuff. I'm just kidding. I will be locked into Alabama Purdue.
The Patriots are going to kill them.
Yeah, probably. I got a lot of fantasy. I got a lot of fantasy points at stake here.
Who are you playing tonight? You playing a bunch of Patriots?
Playing Stephon Diggs. Just traded for him yesterday. That might be it. I think. But
there you go.
We'll see.
I think I'm sitting Breece Hall tonight.
I've got Jamie and Sherwood, the Jets linebacker, on my bench.
There you go. Hope they go crazy for you.
Well, I need him to have a bad game. He's on the bench this week.
Okay, yeah, bench.
Validate my decision.
That's right. So who cares about Patriots Jets tonight?
I don't care.
And I don't even know if there's a
be on Prime anyway. That's the worst broadcast of the week.
And there are probably no college football games tonight. Yeah, Thursday. Well, that's top 25. There's no top 25 games tonight for sure. There is one game tonight, Troy and Old Dominion on ESPN.
I think we can pass that one.
Come on, guys. Let's skip all that. Get the kids to bed and go on to get a Coleman Coliseum. Yeah, I know 6 o'clock is an early bedtime, but that's okay.
I mean, you can bring the kids. They might be rowdy. As long as they're going to get rowdy, bring them.
Yeah, you need to. Hey, scream louder.
You know, we drew the line with Crimson Chaos. They'll keep it clean.
There's no line for the children. The children can just screech.
Yeah.
The children can just wail. Just.
It feels like there's a lot of juice for this game.
I sure hope, like, I hope that it's not just me.
Yeah.
That's feeling it. I think that there is, but I also have a little bit of caveat that it may just be you, Joe.
I just think that St. John's game was such a, all right, Bama basketball fans and potential new basketball fans, we're going to tune in and see what this team has. It's like, oh, you just beat. Okay. Well, yeah, no, we're going. I feel like that was just a moment for a lot of people where it's like, okay, I'm ready to focus on this basketball team now.
Right. You win in Madison Square Garden against St. John's, and really bad. Like, the thing about the Saturday win was battling through the toughness. And, like, honestly, I'm sitting there getting irate over, it's not fair. They're trying to screw Alabama. And, like, I try not to do that. I really try not to do that. But the foul disparity was getting crazy. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, really fighting myself on, oh, the refs have it in the tank for Alabama. But, like, it was called one way on one end of the floor and one way on the other end of the floor. When one side shoots 40 free throws and the other side shoots, like, what, 20-something, you got a problem.
You just should never have that.
Right. And so I was getting and to see the team just, you never saw anybody on the team cut eyes at the official, right? You never saw anybody on the Alabama team do the open hands at the official. What? Me? What? And never pointing, never yelling. It was just, well, okay, next play. Okay. We're loading the free throw line box. We're lining up for the next free throws, and we're inbounding the ball, right? Again, we're going down again. And so, I really, you know, I don't want to give this team the maturity tag quite yet, because there needs to be more games to be played. But that was a really mature response to an imbalance whistle. I don't think there was anything nefarious going on. I don't. But it was an imbalance whistle.
Oh, you never know, Rick Pitino. Mob ties.
correct. Maybe. But I thought the team just ignored the imbalance whistle and said, well, we're in foul trouble. So next guy's got to play the next rotation.
Yeah, ball don't lie. Hey, they went out and proved that ball does not lie. Alabama had the better basketball team that Saturday.
So I was really proud of that effort, and I'm really getting excited about this team. And I'm hoping that a good performance tonight doesn't burst our bubble, doesn't burst my bubble for this basketball team. And I know that a lot of Alabama fans probably feel the same. Mason, why don't we wrap this bad boy up for basketball? Predict the game. We're going to have Ryan Chapman join us from Oklahoma Sooners on SI. We talked to him yesterday, gave us a really good in-depth look at offense, defense, special teams, gave us his three players to watch for the game, let us know kind of the excitement level, where the Oklahoma fan base is. It was a good 20, 25 minutes with Ryan Chapman. So why don't we wrap this basketball conversation up and we'll talk to Ryan Chapman, Oklahoma Sooners on SI. What you think here? How you feel?
Right now, I'm
100-0.
I mean, you know, I'll lock in a
110-50
tomorrow. But right now, I am looking at in my head maybe a
basketball tonight.
Okay,
not football.
I'm thinking.
Sorry, you got ahead of me.
No, I got ahead of myself there. Basketball,
100-0.
I don't know. That KenPom prediction felt maybe a touch high. I'm thinking maybe Alabama 82, Purdue 76. That's where I'll lock in.
82-76. Bama. All right, Purdue, just to, I don't know if I spelled it out right. They beat Evansville 82-51. They beat Oakland 87-77. We did say KenPom had them predicted to win by one, 86-85. I like that actually, but I'll go 84-80. I think that's what I'm feeling. Alabama 84, Purdue 80 is where what I'm
a new season at. Another career high from LeBaron Filon.
Yeah, he just takes it from 22 to 25, 27 points tonight, 27 points tonight, and he gets the double double with 10 assists.
Love it. Book it.
Yeah, look at him. There we go. So 84-80, and you said.
82-76.
Perfect. 82-76. So right about the same scoring margin right there. We cannot wait for it tonight. What is the official line? If you are
a betting man.
If you're placing a wager, it's Alabama -3.5. I think I might play that.
Yeah.
It opened at Alabama 1.5. It's moved to 3.5. Look, at your own risk, all y'all at your own risk. I'm not putting any of my money on it, but I think if I were given $5 and said you have to play it one way or the other, I think I'd play Alabama.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, Mason, we've had a lot of fun already talking basketball. It's a huge night, but it is a big, big week for the football team. Alabama takes on Oklahoma. Let's get into our conversation with Ryan Chapman, Oklahoma Sooners on SI.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
And we're back here on the Joe Gaither Show on a Thursday. We're about to get a lot smarter about the Oklahoma Sooners with Ryan Chapman. You can follow Ryan at _RyanChapman, co-publisher for Sooners on SI and on Morning Radio out there in Oklahoma City. So we cannot wait to get some insight on the Oklahoma Sooners and find out what's coming to Bryant-Denny Stadium this Saturday. But before we do, we want to tell you about our friends at Purple Turtle Roofing. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we're not just another contractor. We're your neighbor and your advocate when it comes to protecting your home or your business. With years of hands-on experience, top-tier certification, and a commitment to excellence, we've built a reputation as Alabama's go-to roofing solution. We specialize in residential roofing, commercial roofing, emergency storm repairs, full-on roof replacements, and insurance claim support. Call Purple Turtle Roofing at 877-787-6635 or visit them online at roofturtle.com. Purple Turtle Roofing, roofing with heart, built to last. Let's do it. We're right here with Ryan Chapman, and we're ready to get excited about this weekend's matchup right there in Bryant-Denny Stadium, 2:30. The number 11 Oklahoma Sooners are coming to Tuscaloosa, really with a nice little bit of momentum off a bye week after going to Knoxville and winning as well, and obviously ruining the Crimson Tide season last year. So to get excited about this week, we're here with Ryan Chapman. Make sure you follow him at _RyanChapman. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. How are we doing, sir?
Good, boys. How are we? Absolutely. Very, very good. Excited about this week. Alabama maybe is going to be finding a running game, but not against the Oklahoma front. Why don't we start with the defense? Oklahoma, or actually we'll start bigger picture than that. What's your assessment? What's been your assessment of the Sooners this season? Obviously kind of a good early part of the year. John Materia gets hurt, lose the Red River rivalry, ultimately lose to Ole Miss as well, but really still right there in playoff position. Ryan, what have you seen from the Sooners this season?
Yeah, it's kind of been a make or break year for Brent Venables to a certain extent at Oklahoma, and it's made more difficult by the understanding of this schedule being really, really tough. And they make it through the Michigan, the Auburn game. John Mateer's playing well. You go, okay, Oklahoma's a quarterback. Maybe this thing's ramped up forward. But it's really been an offense trying to find its groove again after John Mateer. He only missed one game with the hand injury, but it's certainly been a ever-present part of this thing, while Oklahoma's defense just kind of takes it to another level. So this is pretty much not make or break here. I think as long as Brent Venables, you don't get blown out and you win your last two against a banged up Missouri team and LSU team that you guys just saw last weekend, it's not going to be like a disaster by any means. I think 9-3, 8-4 was kind of like the acceptable stuff. But here's the issue: after that win at Neyland and a bye week, Oklahoma fans have ramped themselves back up into dream mode once again. So it makes this one massive, massive, obviously, on Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. And no reason you shouldn't be dreaming going into Knoxville and winning and seeing a defense that probably the best defense in the conference, at least the best defensive front in the conference. What has made this defensive front and this defense so special this season?
Yeah, it's been two things. Just kind of the continued development of the known names, guys like R. Mason Thomas, Kip Lewis, who everyone in the state of Alabama probably remembers not very fondly from a year ago. But you have those guys take a step forward. You have the defensive interior. Jaden Jackson was like a freshman All-American caliber guy last year. Grayson Halton, kind of a speed rusher. You take those guys, and then Brent Venables has found a way to build that depth in that front seven. You've got guys like a Taylor Wine, who's a third-year guy. This is really his first year, though, getting any kind of major playing time. He's been a sensation at defensive end for Oklahoma. A David Stone, a five-star guy who didn't redshirt last year, but he was mostly a special teams guy. He has been a force on the defensive interior for Oklahoma. Then it was going to be like, can you replace Danny Stutzman? Well, Kobe McKenzie, a guy, a linebacker that had been waiting in the wings, he stepped up and he's been fantastic for Oklahoma. So I think it's the continued development of the guys that people kind of knew coming into the year. And then the question was always going to be, could that depth allow this defense to take the next step? And I think that they've been better, honestly, depth wise than maybe even the coaches thought when they were in fall camp and early in the season. I think they had confidence. I don't think anyone thought that this Oklahoma defense, though, could platoon literally 22 guys basically every single game and not have this massive, massive drop off.
Well, you talk about the depth right there before, and I'd like to get maybe your assessment of the health, because we saw R. Mason Thomas go out of the Tennessee game, and we saw Kobe McKenzie, he did dress out but didn't play at all in the Tennessee game. What is really the health of some of these bigger names for Oklahoma? Is everybody good to go as y'all are coming to Bryant-Denny Stadium?
Yeah, the big one will be R. Mason Thomas. I think that's just going to be a game-time decision. We're going to be all tracking where 32 is during warm-ups, and if he can, I think he's going to give it a go, but I think it's pretty unrealistic to expect that he'll be either 100% or be able to get 100% of the snaps. It was a quad injury that happened there. I think there was optimism early, and then through the bye week, I don't think it's responded to the treatment about as well as they thought it would. Kobe, it was a groin. He was really, really close to playing. He talks to us on radio every single Monday. He basically said, I should be good to go there. And then the important one as well in the secondary, Gentry Williams, veteran corner, a guy that Alabama fans didn't see last year. He was banged up all year last year. He was Oklahoma's best corner a couple years ago. He was a could go if he needed to against Tennessee, but more of a break glass in case of emergency. They really wanted to get him to that bye week and get to the other side. So he should be a go there. So honestly, on the health front for Oklahoma, you're really just looking at R. Mason Thomas. And I think that's something that we'll be tracking not only through warmups, but probably into the first possession defensively for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I want to kind of keep going with R. Mason Thomas here. Obviously, a really good player, has been excellent for Oklahoma this season. What is the impact level there if he's not able to go? And how do you feel? You know, you mentioned the depth that Oklahoma has. How good does Oklahoma feel about, you know, if he's potentially unable to go?
Yeah, first off, if R. Mason can't go, it's going to be a huge loss for Oklahoma. They're going to have depth. It's going to sound really positive here in a second, but no one has the bend that R. Mason has. No one has the speed and just his feel for it. Brent Venables talks all the time, and I'm sure that Nick Saban probably talked about this too, that there's a certain element of like, for a pass rusher, you either can time stuff up or you can't. And there's that instinctual part. And he has those for sure. If he's not going to be able to go, you're going to be looking at a couple of guys. Taylor Wine, the first one, 44, if you're looking at him. He's the one I was just talking about. Really, really powerful guy. And he is just a, it's going to sound bad when you see a film junkie, that kind of thing. He's someone that is always in the exact right spot. If you go back to the South Carolina game a couple weeks ago, he snuffed out a fake punt just because he was standing right in the right spot. Didn't bite the cheese on any of that stuff. He's going to be your most consistent piece. Across from him, you'll have Marvin Jones Jr., who played at Georgia for a couple of years, Florida State. He's been fine. Not awesome, incredible, but a really, really solid piece. And then you're going to be looking at two guys, one of them a redshirt freshman and Danny Okoye, 16. He's the closest thing to R. Mason as it comes to a smaller guy ripping off the edge, the athleticism. He's someone that Oklahoma is very excited about his future. And then the other guy will be P.J. Adebora. He'll probably be more of a run-stopping situation. It's going to be by committee, basically, to replace R. Mason if he's not able to go. But Adebora had a massive couple of tackles for loss against Tennessee that forced a couple of punts. He's been a guy that, former five-star pedigree, not really been a five-star contributor, but it's not been a bust by any means. He's just a really, really solid rotational piece, and it's going to kind of have to be defensive end by committee, basically, to make up for R. Mason's loss. But like you guys mentioned, he played basically two series against Tennessee, and Oklahoma was able to generate a ton of pressure on Joey Aguilar regardless. So that's where Brent Venables is just going to get into his bag with the blitz packages, all that stuff, because that's what he likes to do.
Absolutely. They turned over Tennessee quite often in that first half, and the defense was really on fire. We're hanging out with Ryan Chapman. You can follow him at underscore Ryan Chapman, co-publisher for Oklahoma Sooners on SI. So read him right there. Read his coverage right there. Why don't we spin back to the last two losses, the Red River rivalry and to the Ole Miss game, because that's really what Alabama fans are starting to look at for maybe Alabama can do X or Y or Z. So what really went wrong in those two matchups? Obviously, the Red River rivalry, Mateer, awful broken hand, maybe not as efficient, so that gives a bit of grace, and the college football committee playoff committee kind of said as much last night. What was your assessment of maybe what went wrong in those two matchups?
Yeah, let's start on the defensive side of the ball, because that's the strength, and we'll work our way elsewhere. For Oklahoma defensively against Texas in the third quarter, as good as the defense is, they have shown one or two moments where they kind of struggle to get off the field on third down. And against Texas strung together two double-digit play drives. Oklahoma's offense then went three and out in between those, no complimentary football. And then basically it became this defense is really good, but if you get them on the field for an entire quarter, they really, really struggle, especially when you have turnovers. That was the issue for Oklahoma's offense against Texas. And I think that was one part John Mateer's hand. That was his first game back. One part just kind of a naive game plan, asking him to throw downfield a lot with the hand. Mm-hmm. You go to Ole Miss and they generated pressure on Chambliss. Chambliss was able to get out of there. Oklahoma couldn't really figure out how to cover a tight end over the middle of the field, which is an issue everybody has, but that was kind of the big issue there. And then it was, again, a couple of drives where you're not able to get off the field on third down, and then no turnovers. That it's funny, the Tennessee game's been the outlier for Oklahoma. They forced four turnovers going into that game, three in the first half. That's been really the only thing missing from this defense, and that's kind of what went wrong there. You flip over to the offensive side of the ball against Texas, nothing really worked. Couldn't run the ball against that Texas front seven. The running game has made some strides since then, but that was the first game. John Mateer injury, pretty poor game plan. I thought a lot of spreading out and making him throw almost 40 times, 17 days post-surgery, not a great plan. Then you get to Ole Miss, and it became something where he was better there, but John Mateer was really struggling to push the ball downfield. Oklahoma's rushing attack came alive in that third quarter. Xavier Robinson, who gashed Alabama last year alongside Jack Snarled, he had been missing, honestly, for no real reason in the rotation. That kind of came online, and then it was just Ole Miss was able to make the plays late there. So the hope right now is going to be that you pair that running attack that Oklahoma's found over the last 3 weeks. Brent Venables talked about this, or last three games, excuse me. Before the bye week, Oklahoma was third in yards per carry those previous three games. If you compare that with a John Mateer that's like the John Mateer we saw in the first month of the season, the guy against Michigan, the guy against Auburn, never has been perfect, but has been able to make up for some overthrows or some interceptions with big plays. And he's been really, really clutch in the first month of the season. At least if you can get that guy, pair it with that rushing attack, that's kind of be the formula that Oklahoma wants to put out there, at least on Saturday.
I want to move and ask you, kind of stick with Oklahoma's offense, but ask you about how Alabama can affect John Mateer. Seems like he's had a little, Obviously, we can attribute some of the interceptions to that Texas game, but outside of that, he's even been a little, less than careful with the ball at times, I would say. Has that been more of a result of teams getting able to being able to get after him and get pressure on him? Is that more of a John Mateer just kind of being reckless at times? Because Alabama has been able to produce some pressure the last few games, a little bit more so than they have. So just kind of where do you think, or how do you think Alabama can affect John Mateer, and if that's going to really play into his decision-making in this one?
Yeah, Mateer, he's had some errant throws. So if you can disguise some coverages, you're going to be able to probably confuse him once or twice. He also has some overthrows, which are not necessarily just defense related. It's just he puts the ball in a terrible spot, sails it by 5 or 6 yards. If the safety's hanging out there, then jackpot. But for the biggest thing has been Oklahoma right now, they're going to roll into this game. They've had some personnel changes along the offensive line, some changes they wanted to make, some via injury. They're basically starting two true freshman offensive tackles. And the left guard is a redshirt freshman who's only started one game. His first start was against Tennessee. The left guard was the change they made in-house. Right tackle was an injury. They were great in the second half against Tennessee. I think that's where, though, it's going to be. If you can confuse this group up front and generate some pressure on John Mateer, he is prone to hold onto the football. He's been known to run into sacks that aren't really there. And for Mateer, it's kind of a little bit of whether it's a bad Mateer throw, whether it's Alabama bringing pressure early, it seems like he gets rattled and it takes him a drive or two to settle back in. And that's what against Texas, when he was in that mode of being rattled, that's when two or three of the interceptions came, bang, bang, bang. So this football team plays like a basketball team. It's really streaky. There's going to be a quarter where everything goes Alabama's way. There's probably going to be a quarter where most things are going Oklahoma's way. And it's going to be about, can you ride that wave and pull the momentum back into that side of things? And as long as you can generate pressure, that there have been some free runners as far as if you can disguise the blitz, Oklahoma's offensive line not been perfect handing stuff off. I think that's like a real, real opportunity for Alabama. And then the other bit is Ben Arbuckle, the offensive coordinator, super young play caller. If it gets 10-0 early or 14-0 early, he has totally abandoned the run at times, just kind of getting panicky, going back to air. And that's where I think that would play right into what Alabama would want to do. And I think that's when they can ramp up the pressure and really take advantage of some Mateer miscues.
We're hanging out with Ryan Chapman, and let's stay with the offensive side of the football with Oklahoma and go really to the running backs. Obviously, you just mentioned Xavier Robinson has been getting going. He had a good little game against Tennessee. I think he's got two games now over 100 yards, his most recent two games over 100 yards. But you pull up their stat sheet, and you're seeing him at basically third in rushing in attempts. And we remember you went out to Cal and got Jaden Ott to play running back as well. What has really been your assessment of the Oklahoma running game? John Mateer, 94 rushes on the season, leading the team in rushing touchdowns, so getting going on the ground for him as well. What's been your assessment of Oklahoma on the ground?
Started out really poor. It steadily improved. The first month of the season, it was basically Mateer or nothing on the ground. Jaden Knott, that's just a transfer portal whiff. I don't know what it is about. He had got a stinger early in camp, never really seemed to shake that up. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or he's just not used to, frankly, coming to an SEC school and competing for playing time, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to for Oklahoma, the biggest thing is going to be John Mateer's legs, that X factor. Because Xavier Robinson, he's going to be your running back one. The true freshman, Torrey Blaylock, he was the guy for about 6 or 7 weeks, kind of got a shoulder stinger, allowed Robinson to get going. And those two are the guys you're going to see. But the big difference has been Mateer in the Michigan game, if everyone remembers that, he was a legitimately dynamic runner running away from some big-time linebackers, things like that. He sustained a knee injury going into the Auburn game that was pretty significant. I believe it was something like a hyperextension type thing, massively taped, not ever going to keep him out. But funny enough, the first bye week, that's what we thought the big story was going to be. If Mateer's knee could get going, it was his hand. If Mateer can find a way, the second half of the Tennessee game was the closest we've seen to him on the ground, at least decisive, making guys miss, things like that. There's a 3rd and 16 that he picked up 21 yards. And that's when you went, okay, that's the Mateer that you saw. If that can get going, that's where I think the rushing attack can legitimately be very, very dangerous. Mateer's generally pretty good about making the right read and the read option game, RPO stuff, things like that. It just becomes, if Mateer's legs aren't effective, then you can really key in on Xavier Robinson. It becomes pretty, not necessarily one dimensional, but obvious what Oklahoma's trying to do. They've only got a small base of plays that they feel like really, really comfortable with as a rushing offense, because it's not been spectacular. From there, I think that's the formula. If you can shut down Mateer first, then you can really have success bottling up the Oklahoma run game. If not, that's when they kind of get going. It's a rushing attack that it has to wear on you a little bit to be super effective. If they're going to get going, it'll probably be third quarter, fourth quarter. So they just got to hang around long enough to try and make that become a thing.
Well, we can move to the passing game now. And I just want to ask you, how do you think Oklahoma's wide receivers stack up with Alabama's secondary? Obviously, you have Keontae Lewis, kind of the one guy that's a little bit bigger, 6'2", but outside of him, there's not really anybody with that level of physicality. Alabama, on the other hand, has a lot of guys that are really lengthy, a lot of really tall cornerbacks, taller safeties. Just where do you think, or how do you think Oklahoma matches up from that standpoint?
Not well, honestly. I don't think this is where Oklahoma wants to live. Isaiah Satania has been the best guy. He's not a big guy, but he plays big, if that makes sense. He'll hang in there. He'll take hits. He's crafty the open field. Keontae Lewis, he's the guy that collided into the wall behind the end zone, if people remember that. You guys know how tight those end zones are. Mm-hmm. He rushed back to play against Texas. I think that he's had some setbacks. We've not seen him since the Texas game. So you're looking at a post-spring portal edition, Jermichael Carter. He's the one that stepped up in against Tennessee, and then Jermaine Gibson. Those two guys are not going to beat Alabama downfield. Like, that would be a shock. What they've been really, really good at, what Mateer's shown a lot of faith in, is, hey, it's 3rd and 5. I need you to run to the sticks. I need you to catch the ball and move the chains on a 3rd and 6. So Oklahoma's passing offense, if it's not been Isaiah Satania, it's not super explosive. It can get the job done. It can dink and dunk. It's more about what Ben Arbuckle schemes open than what these receivers are doing themselves. And if it gets to a situation where Oklahoma's wide receivers have got to go win, I think that might be the worst matchup maybe in the entire game. As far as I think Alabama's secondary has a massive advantage over Oklahoma's receivers. And from there, you can kind of work it, reverse engineer it, try to make that thing happen. But if Satania does get into the open field, he can hurt Alabama that way. Just has not happened super, super consistently to this point.
Mm-hmm. We're hanging out with Ryan Chapman. We encourage you to read him, Oklahoma Sooners on SI. And I'm looking at first conference game in Tuscaloosa between these two foes. And it's Oklahoma's first trip to Tuscaloosa since 2003. Oklahoma winning that game 20-13. Oklahoma's been on the road this year. At Tennessee is no joke. It is no joke. Not Neyland Stadium is crazy. At South Carolina is pretty tough as well. So Oklahoma has already been on the road this season. Just what's your take on how tested Oklahoma is? 16th in the country in strength of schedule. You played Texas. You played Michigan. You see them both in the college football playoff rankings right now. What's your just take on how battle-tested Oklahoma is and how they will handle the Bryant-Denny Stadium environment?
I think they're pretty battle-tested, especially offensively. You look at go back to the Michigan defense, the Auburn defense, the Texas defense. It's one of those things where even the Auburn, who's not been as good as maybe the talent has said they could be, that's a couple of really tough front sevens. And I know this sounds weird, but until you really experience it, going down to Dallas to play in the Cotton Bowl, it holds 90. And I know you're saying, hey, it's only 45,000. When you're deep into one end, it's as loud as any stadium. It's bizarre. It's weird. And so if you've been in that, you've experienced massive momentum swings. Neyland was awesome at night. It's been lucky. That was my second trip out there. I remember back in 2015, and it was just absolutely rocking. Like, it lived up to, you know, what Neyland tries to be at night. So I don't think, doesn't mean you're not going to see false starts, things like that, because you got three freshmen up there along the offensive line. But if Oklahoma does not play well, I don't think it's going to be because suddenly they're having to get adjusted to Alabama's receiving corps, for instance. I mean, they played Ole Miss and Tennessee in basically the last 2 or 3 weeks. So they've got high-flying offenses, receivers, that they've seen that. I don't think it's going to be that. And they're going to have a lot of confidence coming in with a guy that you might not start your prep sheet with, but a legitimate X factor for Oklahoma, Tate Sandell, the kicker. People made it realize him from the tiny pants, basically, in Neyland. But he missed his first field goal for Oklahoma. He's made 18 straight. He's made 6 50-yarders. This is an Oklahoma offense that literally believes if we cross midfield, we're putting 3 points on the board, as long as we don't turn the ball over. And that's a huge belief for an offense on the road of like, hey, we don't have to march the whole field. We just got to get 3 first downs here, and we're suddenly in field goal range, depending on what the punt team does. I think that's been a huge pressure release valve for Oklahoma's offense, especially on the road.
I really just got kind of one more, I guess, question seemingly involving, I guess, both the offense and defense. You know, we talked about the strengths that Alabama has matching up with Oklahoma's offense. Obviously, you mentioned the secondary being the biggest one. But then Alabama as well has been able to produce a lot of pressure the last few weeks and could maybe get after John Mateer a bit in this game. If they are able to slow down this Oklahoma offense and keep it at bay, can the defense go win the game itself?
I think it can. Now, Ty Simpson, you guys know better than us, certainly does not turn the ball over. He is an efficiency machine. But this is where Brent Venables having 2 weeks to game plan. Brent Venables has as big a playbook as anybody in the country. He's got it. He's willing to try different stuff. And this is a defense that's coming in with a ton of confidence. The only thing missing for them has been the turnover. They've got guys. The very first play of the Tennessee game, Aguilar sees Eli Bowen, who was on Ryan Williams last year, ready to just walk in for a pick six that kind of forced the fumble there. Cortland Guillory, a true freshman, he's got great ball skills. Both guys on the back end have big-time ball skills. The linebackers have – like, this is a scenario where if Oklahoma's defense creates the turnovers, they are a pick-six scoop-and-score threat every single time, which has been part of the frustration why they haven't been able to do that. Now, I don't know if in this moment they can go out there and win the game by themselves. They're going to need a little bit, but – they've been tasked basically all of last year with, can you hold up? That's the only reason Oklahoma was ever in a football game, is that the defense basically did it by itself. The Alabama game being the exception, the only time they got some help. And it's an Oklahoma defense that if they strike early, they can. Now, if they get behind and it's 10 or 14, nothing, I'm not sure if that's going to be the route forward, just because I think Alabama can be a little bit smarter, like a lot of teams have this year, and basically said, we're not going to really open up unless we have to even give you the chance to change the game on the defensive side of the ball.
We've been hanging out with Ryan Chapman. I want you to encourage you to follow him at underscore Ryan Chapman and read him on Oklahoma Sooners on SI. Ryan, every week we do three players to watch. All of us take our hand picking three Alabama players that either need to stand out or will stand out. We want to go off the wall. You already mentioned the kicker in Tate Sandell, and maybe he's one of them, but I'll ask you to maybe try your hand at three Oklahoma players that you're going to have your eye on that need to have big games or that you think will have big games in Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Yeah, Tate Sandell, weirdly enough, it feels we're talking about a kicker, but he's got to have a big game. Focal wants to go in and win. Xavier Robinson, the running back, I think he's the guy. And I guess an honorable mention to the Oklahoma offensive line in the running game. If Xavier Robinson gets going, that's going to open up a ton for this Oklahoma offense. If not, then it might be a really, really long day. And then I'm looking at, on the defensive side of the ball, it's Kip Lewis. He's the guy that had the pick six last year. Kip Lewis is not the biggest linebacker in the world, but he's incredibly gifted at penetrating in short yardage situations. He's a weapon on third and two, third and three, that kind of stuff, especially if Alabama's struggling to run the football. He's a guy that can cover sideline to sideline, doesn't ever really come off the field, and he can be the difference maker at linebacker if necessary. And as you guys have seen plenty this year, if teams are not able to force pressure, that's a bad, bad recipe for everyone's secondary going against this Alabama offense pretty much. And I think that Kip Lewis is going to have to be a key piece of that, because the defensive line, that they're going to win at times, but I think this is going to be more of a full team, a front seven pressure plan, as opposed to just having the front four get after it. And I think Kip Lewis is going to be a big, big part of that if Oklahoma wants to have success at Bryant-Denny.
He's Ryan Chapman. He's been hanging out with us from Oklahoma Sooners on SI. Ryan, we'll leave you the last word, man. Thank you so much for joining us. What are your maybe final thoughts on this game? And be safe as you travel over here.
Yeah, just pumped to come experience. This is another one of those things when you hear Oklahoma moving to the SEC, you go, oh gosh, we get to go to Bryant-Denny. We get to go to Neyland. We get to go to Athens, things like that. So just can't wait. It's very, very rare. It's only, the fourth time in regular season play that Oklahoma and Alabama have ever met. And you throw in all the playoff implications too on top of that. Can we fast forward? 48 hours. Let's roll this thing and get going.
Absolutely. Ryan, thanks so much for your time. We can't wait to see you, and be safe coming over here. Appreciate you, sir.
We'll see you guys.
Absolutely. As Ryan Chapman joining us on a Thursday, make sure you follow him at underscore Ryan Chapman and read all his coverage right there, Oklahoma Sooners on SI.
We appreciate Ryan Chapman joining us yesterday and joining us today, really, on the Joe Gaither Show. We once again encourage you to follow him at underscore Ryan Chapman on the Twitter machine. We're doing morning radio out there in Oklahoma City and writing for Oklahoma Sooners on SI. That's going to do it for our program today. We want to thank our friends at Purple Turtle Roofing for sponsoring the program. At Purple Turtle Roofing, we believe our work is about more than roofing. It's about service, stewardship, and sheltering what matters most. Our name may be unique, but it's deeply rooted in purpose and faith. The color purple, symbolizing Christ and royalty, reflects our founders' personal beliefs in striving for excellence and honoring a higher calling in all that we do. The turtle represents something that began as a simple idea, but quickly became a powerful symbol of strength and endurance and divine guidance. Call Purple Turtle Roofing today at 877-787-6635. Roofing with heart and built to last. We're going to have a great day over there in Coleman Coliseum. I cannot wait to see you guys at the basketball game this evening. Come out and say hello if you see me. We're excited to see what Alabama does against number 2 Purdue this evening. We'll have a great football Friday right here in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios tomorrow. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. Find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You'll be able to find Nate Oates' post-game press conference right there on the Bama Central YouTube channel tonight, win, lose, or draw. So you'll be able to hear what Coach Oates has to say this evening. And we'll see you again tomorrow right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time. Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.